said, I empowered all of you to do it on earth. He said, in my name, you shall speak with new tongues. In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witnesses in here that said, I need to do what he said do in order that I may be able to do the greater works than these? So he confronted him. He said that, you know, I blinded him and I talked to him. See, sometimes God got to put you in a blind spot so he can talk to you. You're too busy being religious. We're too busy trying to do it our own way. We're too busy thinking that we right about everything. And ain't nobody right about everything. Tell somebody you ain't right about everything.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. When you have it, say amen. All right. Begin reading Philippians 2, 9 now. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to focus on the topic, the exalted one. The exalted one. I think it's important that we recognize that if God so named Jesus as the exalted one, that we should take a little time out and look over this expression of exalted in our presence today. One of the things that I love about this particular passage of scripture is Paul is sharing with the church at Philippi the realities of Jesus Christ in God and how he thought it not robbery and he sets the stage up for us to understand that God and Christ are one. That what Jesus did, he did at the behesting of his Father. That what he did in obedience to his Father. What we miss many times and misunderstand sometimes is the fact that Jesus said, I do always those things which please my Father. Why does Jesus exclaim that? Because he wants us to know that his only purpose for coming down to planet Earth was to do the will, the righteous will of his Father. That he knew the Father loved his children who had strayed away, who had disobeyed, and who had turned from the right relationship and fellowship with God. And it was Jesus' job to bring them back to the Father. However, it would be at an enormous cost. An enormous cost. As a matter of fact, it was a cost so high that no one but Jesus could pay that price. And one of the things that you've got to understand is, my brothers and sisters, if you're ever going to be exalted by God, many times you're going to have to go down before you go up. Many times you're going to have to be tried. You're going to have to be tested. You're going to have to go through some things to prove worthy of the exaltation God is stamping on your life and ministry. And Jesus had no issues with this. As a matter of fact, he was looking forward because he knew that in doing what pleased his Father would bring the Father great joy in bringing back to the Father the lost sheep of Israel. Now, one of the things that I want us to look at again, going back to verse 9, the word says, wherefore God also, which suggests to us that this is not the only thing that God did as relates to the exalting of Jesus Christ or giving him this distinction as being the exalted one. But he says here, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now, one of the things, again, that's so important to recognize is this reality, this assignment, this exaltation came from God the Father and not Jesus Christ himself. God had ultimately, of his own will, of his own choosing, of his own freedom, of his own knowledge, made Jesus the Christ Lord of all. Now hear me, because I need you to see that would seem to be some conflict in the position of God and Jesus being exalted, with the exception that God did the exalted. Jesus didn't do it himself. When we please God, God doesn't have a problem with picking us up and bringing us to the place where he receives the glory. Now, he gives Jesus this distinction of being the exalted one, and yet it wasn't Jesus himself who gave himself this distinction. But what I need you to understand is how far-reaching this distinction is. Listen to what it says again. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. The inference here is he exalted him so high that no one has ever been exalted higher. Jesus has been given this distinction by God the Father higher than he's ever given to anyone else. Had highly exalted him. He didn't just stop there, but he gave him a name which is above, exalted, above every name. Yeah. Now that means this, whatever name may seem to be an exalted name in the earth realm, when you say Jesus, it tops it all. No matter who the person is, no matter what they've accomplished, no matter where they think they have arrived, Jesus is above that person. A name which is above every name. So much so now, look again as he continues to make clear this distinction and elevation of Jesus. So much so that he says he is exalted above everything. Everything. Why is that? That he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should do what? Now, God is elevating him, but then God is saying, while I've elevated him, your position is to bow down to him. Take the low road to Jesus Christ. He's elevated. You are humbled. He's lifted up. You are bowed down low. He says this now, that every knee should bow of things in the highest place, heaven. Heaven. That means he is above every angel, every created being. God has placed Jesus at the very top of the list. It doesn't matter what sphere you're in, what realm you're in. If it's in heaven, Jesus is tops. If it's in earth, Jesus is top. Now here's another one that made me smile. And even under the earth, where Satan is and reign, Jesus is higher than the devil in hell. That's why he had the keys to heaven and hell and to life and death, and he could go down to hell and unlock the cells of the saints who had gone on in the Old Testament looking for Jesus, the Christ, the promised one, and prepared a way for them so that on that third day when he got up and went back, listen, beyond the center of the earth, back to earth, that they too had gone into the center of the earth, would come back to earth with him. And he would be the one who would lead them not only from earth, but back to glory. They then trans-relocated paradise so that when a believer died in the New Testament after Jesus Christ, he no longer went to hell. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So automatically, when you who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and have been in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, in the Old Testament, it was called death. In the New Testament, it was called sleep. You go to sleep and wake up with Jesus. Why? Because he is the exalted one. Look again, I want you to see this because I'm almost through, because y'all already sleep, so I'm on. Listen. Now, I need you to understand that at the name of Jesus, Jesus the Christ, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is not another that is greater than Jesus. There is not another who is exalted and elevated to the point where we will bow to him and call out his name and give homage to him and reverence to him as Lord. Satan wanted that privilege, but God had that reserved for his son. And because God had that reserved for his son, when he revealed himself so that God had to kick him out of heaven, along with a third of the angels who had followed him because he exalted himself. Can I tell you, God don't take kindly to you making yourself big. God doesn't take kindly to the fact that you promote yourself above what God has given you the distinction of. Listen, he wanted the praise of God. He wanted, Satan, the glory of God. He wanted to be all that God is. And God had to show him, I am that I am. And he had to kick him out of heaven. And the one that he exalted, even when he kicked Satan out of heaven and brought him down to hell, his son was exalted above him. Above him. Now I need you to hear this part, the last part. This is what blesses me. That he is exalted to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. What does that mean? It means very simply, if you want to make God happy, say something about Jesus. I'm talking about good. Brag on Jesus. Get excited about Jesus. If you want the Father to get excited about what you're saying, just lift up Jesus. Why? Because when you lift up Jesus, you're giving honor to the Father who has exalted him. He's given this person the power and the authority that he's not given to anyone else in human history. And every time, even from Jesus' death to his ascension, it was always about being exalted. Jesus said in John 3:14, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be. So must the Son of Man be. He knew he had to be. Jesus also said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Why? Because he is the exalted one. See, Jesus didn't have a problem with the plan of God. Jesus knew he had to be lifted up. And I got news for you. Sometime you got to be lifted up again so people can see what it is God wants them to see about you. And Jesus was lifted up. They had two criminals on either side of him, but he was lifted above them all because his exaltation was that they will soon know, if they don't know it now, he is the exalted one that God has given to this world. The thief on the right caught a glimpse of the glory. And he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Matter of fact, he opposed all of the language and all of the opposition of the other criminal, wanting to get down off the cross so he can go back and do what he was doing before he got caught and put on the cross. He told him, listen, man, we're up here because we deserve to be up here. We've done some of the most horrific things that can be done, and we deserve to be crucified and killed, but not this man, not Jesus. And then he told Jesus, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, do me one favor. You might forget his name over there, but remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Why? Because he was recognizing Jesus as the exalted Son of God. And even the men that hung him up high and stretched him out wide cried out, surely, this must be the Son of God. The Son of God. And it's through him being lifted up, exalted to the point where his life and his death brought God glory. An innocent man did no harm, committed no sin, is being hung up like a common criminal. And yet the cause for him being hung up is for all of our hang-ups. Not one of his own. And God sent him for that purpose, and that pleased God. Let me ask you a question. I mean, you know, it may be rhetorical in nature, but I really want you to, you know, to fathom this in your own mind. If the Lord told you he was going to elevate you higher than anybody else, but you would have to go through more than anybody else, how much would you really want that promotion? If God said to you, listen, if you really want to be all of that, I will elevate you and make you all of that, but you're going to have to do all of that to become all of that. Would you still be willing? Listen, Jesus paid a price that no man would pay or could pay. And so if it had not been for Jesus, who hung on that cross. Okay, let me back up a little bit. If God said, I'll exalt you, if you took everything Jesus took before he got to the cross, how many of you think you could? I mean, let's think about it. Think about it. The 39 lashes. If you've ever been spanked as a child, after that first hit, You hollering and screaming bloody murder.
Yes, sir.
Imagine 38 more times you would have been dead. You'd have been dead. Couldn't have handled it. And all of that was before they put the cross on his shoulder and marched him up Golgotha's hill. Everything about Jesus I want you to see is going up the hill, the cross. Everything about Jesus is exalted. And even when he died 3 days later, he rose up from the grave. He got up. He got up. And my brothers and sisters, when he got up, it signified that God had transferred power into his hand. All power in heaven and in earth is in my hand. And so as Lord of all, there is nothing our Lord and Savior cannot do. Everything Jesus Christ did once, he can do it again. Because he is Lord. Everything is subject and submitted to him. Everything has to submit to his authority, to his power, to his rule, to his reign. Why? Because he is Lord. And when you begin to wrap your mind around the fact that God exalted him so that he could place all power in his hand. Why? Because he knew Jesus knew what to do with that power. And with all of that power, guess what he did? He brought God glory. Never once, not once, did he seek the glory for himself. But it gave him the privilege of handing the Father all of the glory that only the exalted one could do. My brothers and sisters, listen, on this Lord's Supper Day that we celebrate Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, it is a fresh reminder every time we partake of the Lord's Supper that what Jesus did for us, we couldn't do for ourselves. And that we need to remind ourselves afresh that what God the Father did in him and God did through him and God did for him, he did it so that through him he could bring all of us back into a right relationship with the Father.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office.